Okay, so we're up to the we're in ninth perek, and we're up to the second Mishnah. Now, before we start the second Mishnah, we need to get some background on this perek, because this perek is essentially about the dinim of biur. And so, what precisely are the dinim of biur? So, there's two psukim in the Torah that give us an indication that there are limits to the zman of the achila of perishvias. So the famous one that everyone knows from the Bavli is ulevem techa holachaya shabeartzecha tiyekot vata leechol. What does that mean? For your behemoth and for the wild animals out in the field, all of the tefor should be available to eat. But I thought you're supposed to be eating. So what does that show? So as the Gemara says, this is a hekesh, makish behema lachaya, kol zman shechaya ochelet basadeh, behema ochelet babayit, kolla lechaya min hasadeh, kolla lebehemtecha babayit. So in other words, you are allowed to take all of the perishvias, feed them to your animal, your domesticated animal, but only so long as wild animals would be able to find this same kind of food out in the wild. But if it's no longer available in the wild, then you've got to get it out of your house. So kale lechayam min has, kala kale from the bayit. Now there's another beautiful pasuk that indicates this, which the Yerushalmi brings, and there it says, min hasadeh tochlu et fuata. So as long as kol zman shatochel min hasadeh, atochel mashu bebayit, kala min hasadeh. So the first one referred to the animal feed, and the second one refers to human feed. So as long as minasadeh tochalatvuato, you're allowed to eat the perishvias that you find out in the field. You're also allowed to collect sufficient for a brief period. We have the shalosh sudais. You could collect and keep in your house. But after that, you cannot keep in your house. You have to be kalei min habayit. You have to get it out of the house. Now, kale min habayit, what exactly does that mean? So the Rambam says, kale min habayit means literally, kale min habayit, get it out in terms of destroying it, and that it became usur for you if you kept it beyond the time that it was able to be found in the sadeh. And that time that you find in the Sodah, that is defined as the Zman Habiur. And that's what our Mishnah is about to discuss. When you say found in the Sodah, which Sodah? Because remember, differences in topography, differences in climate, differences even in local weather patterns could create a difference of when something in your area is found in the Sodah. Does it have to be found in your sada, what used to be your sada before Shvias? Can it be found within a radius of 20 miles, 100 miles, anywhere in the country? That's what our Mishnah is interested in discovering. But in any event, the idea over here is a very profound issue. Do we see Shemitah as a fundamentally gifting kind of thing, right? So it's like Meiser and Truma, and this becomes the gift to all of the Aniyim, and that's the point that it is there for. And the idea of not giving it is that if you don't allow it to be available for everyone, so then you're being over on the Isser of Shvias. Or do we see Shvias as we would look at Orla, or we would look at Kilayim? In other words, there are things that Aser food, Orla Aser's food, Kilayim Aser's food, Shemitah Aser's food, but it only Aser's food when you're acting as a Bailam. If you're not acting as a Bailam, so then it doesn't Aser the food. So if you had something that you took, and now by not sharing it with the world, you kept it for yourself beyond the time, now it becomes the equivalent of Orla and so on and so forth, right? So that's how the Rambam sees the idea of Shvias. And that in that case, it's the same as the Yisurim of it. If we have Kilayim, it says over there, pen the Tukadesh we darshan. You have to be to Kadesh. So the Rambam says you have to burn it, literally. So apparently, I mean, what's the marker for that? Apparently, the Isser that we find in other Isserim that are agricultural Isserim. That's how the Rambam learns. Nobody else learns like that. Because generally, the Tfisa of Shemitah is that Shemitah is a way of gifting. And the idea, therefore, of Biur is that you have a time limit to how long you can keep something that needs gifting to others. So as long as anybody could go to the field and they could get the same thing, so then you're keeping it in your house is not keeping it from them. But the moment that they can't go into the field and get the same thing, then you're keeping it away from all of the people. So therefore, what would be the meaning of the biur? To take it outside and put it back where people can find it. And that therefore, if you're mafkir it, so then at that point, it becomes mutter. That's all that it means. And that's basically the way we paskin. So that's the sheet of many Rishonim. It's attributed essentially as the sheet of the Ramban against the Rambam. And that's how the Chazon Ish paskins and almost all of the modern poskim. Biur means hefker. You have to get it out of there. And according to those who hold it means hefker, the Rambam, you can't do like the Rambam. It's not that you could be machber like the Rambam. Because the Rambam is telling you to destroy Perishvias, Sidamutr Bachila. And they don't hold it that it's Osir Bachila and therefore requires Srefa. You see a completely opposite Tvisa in the nature of Shvias itself. It's amazing, right? Fine. So, I mean, obviously the Rambam himself says the way to be Bakayim Biur is before this man of Biur. Make sure that you've given out everything that could be eaten during Shemitah so that Chas v'Shalom, nothing is wasted. So go and give it out to the poor and see to it that everyone has the three meals that they're allowed to have. Give it out to your family. Give it out to Aniyim. And make sure that you won't be over this man of Biur because then it's going to become usher, Baruch Avram, to close your eyes. No, it's going to be usher to eat it anymore. And so then basically you're being mafsid. The Perishvias. So, of course, ultimately, we want everybody to be able to share this. Okay. So now, of course, the din of Biur would only be on things that end up not being in the field. In other words, any type of thing that is always going to be found in the field, it grows wild all year round. So then there's been, by definition, it's impossible to apply the pasuk of kola min hasada, because it's never kola min hasada. Now the question is, where does the chiyuv come from? In other words, is this part of the din of Kedusha Shvias, or is this a separate halacha? Now that would make a tremendous nafkamina la halacha. In other words, in terms of the things that we rely on, like, you know, if a goy owns it, so again, I'm as big machlokas b'nei brak and Yerushalayim and so on, but if you hold that Gedulei Nochri are not Chayev in Shvias, so then Bepashtus, there also would be no Chiev of Biur. Because if there's no Kedusha Shvias, this would be an expression of the din of Kedusha Shvias. Then the question is, according to those, they understand that the nature of Biur is to give it to an Otzer Bezdin. Take it out of your house. Give it to a Beit Din that will then see to it that it's equitably distributed to anybody who needs it, and nobody's going to come along and steal it and take it. Because if you learn that it's just Hefker, that allows you to go right back. We just had the sugi in the dorm, right? You can go right back, and you can take it for yourself. The moment you're mafkirit, okay, so I'm mafkirit. It's a big machlokas. I need to be mafkirit in front of three people. But whatever the case is, if I go ahead and I mafkir it and I take it back, so now it will be kosher. If I need to give it to an Otzer Bezdin, and that's the way that it's going to be equitably distributed. So now what would be the din if somebody gets it from the Otzer Bezdin and it's after the Zman of Biur? Can that person be zochen it from the Otzer Bezdin, or does he have to be mavayir it? So this actually comes up very often as a problem, Bisman Hazeh, because people will buy from an Otzer Bezdin, so they will buy wine that has the kashrus of an Otzer Bezdin before the Zman of Biur. And they buy it. before the Zman of Biur. In that case, almost everyone is maskin, but you have to personally do Biur on it. The fact that it was in the Rishus of an Otzer Beis Din doesn't potter it permanently from Biur. But if you bought it after the Zman of Biur, and it was in the Rishus of the Otzer Beis Din at the time of Biur, then it's considered by definition to be Mavuah, right? Because that's the way to be Mavayer. See to it that it is placed in public Rishus. Amazing. This is Bamish the Sugya in the door. We talked about the idea of public ownership and Hefker, right? Incredible. So the same thing would be true over here. Now, in order for you to be Mavayer, this becomes very complex, Bizman Hazet. Because in order for you to be Mavayer, you need to know the Zman HaBir. But the problem is that the Zman HaBir is very sensitive to local conditions. So this is going to be a big issue. Because if you were Mavayer it, and then you took it back, and the real Zman HaBir was the next day, so you have to be Mavayer it the next day. And you don't know when the Biur is. You're going to have to start doing this every day from before the Zman HaBir until all the way after the Zman HaBir. So this is really a problem. Besides which, there's a whole other issue. The whole other issue is, if you were Mavayer it, does that mean it no longer has to be eaten B'Kiddush HaShviyas? Or it's still Kaddish B'Kiddush HaShviyas? The fact that you were Mafker doesn't take off B'Kiddush HaShviyas. Alam Maisa, it's Machlokas HaPoskin. But we end up asking that it is still Kaddish B'Kiddush HaShviyas. So, I mean, this creates a lot of problems. You can't burn it, can't get rid of it. You'd have to be re-mafkered every day. And that is a major issue. Now, the only solution that I know to this problem, which is not everybody agrees to, but Lamaisa Rebbe Yashiv was masking. So the solution was offered by Reb Shlomo Zalman. So Reb Shlomo Zalman says, what if you go ahead and you're mafter it to be Mekayim the Biur, and then you're not Zocher? You just take it. And you say, Beferish, I'm taking it not in order to be machnis it to my Rishos. I'm taking it because I want to eat pears from Hefker. So then it never becomes yours to be Mekayim you and Biur again. So as long as you once got it out of your house and you weren't technically Zocher in it, so then you would be allowed to actually eat it without being Mavayer it again. So that's one way out of the complexities of what do you do when you don't know precise. It's almost impossible to know precisely when the Zman HaBiur is, right? I mean, we'll see Mishnayos later on that talk about very generalized periods in which different meaning, you know, whether it's Hanukkah time, it's, we'll see that. But those are really guidelines. They're not really very specific. So, wow, it's not at all pusha. There's also the question of if somebody held on to the peres after the Zman of Biur, which means that they're usher, is that just a knas or is it a be'etzem iser? If it's a knas, then that would mean that the person who didn't do it wouldn't be usher in it. Because we don't usher with a knas. Sometimes we don't even usher the child of the person, right? We've had many examples of lo kanse, levrei lo kanse. So over here, if you got something from someone or you're invited to someone's house, which can often happen, you don't know whether he knew the dinim of Biur and he's giving you wine that was Kaddish B'Kiddush HaShviyas that he got from an Otzer Beis Din. So what are you going to do? Sit there and grill the balabayas? So let me ask you something. Did you put it out and be mafka? That's all you need. We've got problems enough with hechsherim issues that we can't start with that kind of thing. So now many are semich on the fact that if the entire issue is a knas, so then they weren't going to see you, so you wouldn't have a problem. So you could eat. The other person is the problem. That's true, particularly because Shviyas Bizman HaZeh is the Rabbana. The question, however, is, wow, this issue of the Chiyav of Biur is a Machlokas Rishonim as to whether it's possibly a Diraisa, and when the Isser of Achila, the Ramban himself, opens the question of whether it's possible the Isser Achila is not a Knas, And the achila is a derivative of the kalei min habayit. So that we have to take into consideration if it would actually be a diraisa. And there's a number of places where there are rishonim that indicate that that's the case. Okay, but we'll examine more of that as we go through the perek, which deals with the inyanim of biur. So this is our introduction to the concepts and talking a little bit about the halacha lemaisa, which is still with us, and those things that are long-term evarim, especially the kind of wines that you pick up from Otzer Beis Din. I hope that this was an exciting introduction to the Mishnah, second Mishnah, Perek Tes. We were talking about biur and the dinim of biur, and you remember that we were aimed on the fact that there were two very fundamentally different shitas about what biur means, that according to the Rambam, biur means actual getting rid of it, like biur chometz, and you'd have to burn it. And according to the Ramban and most of the other Rishonim, biur means hefker. You have to get it out of your rishus. And all of this was based on the from which we darshaned that if it's available to the chayasha basadeh, then you can make it available to vehemtecha. But if not, then you cannot. But remember that there's also another pasuk, which is v'achlu evyonei amecha. So now because of that, the v'achlu evyonei amecha, the Ravid understands every biur to have two stages. One is the local stage, in which if it's not going to be available for the evyonim, for the aniyim, you have to make it available for the evyonim. And those evyonim are the people that you're responsible for, the people in your city. And if it's not easily accessible to them, then you have to go and be mafkir it. The best thing to do, of course, is to give it to Beis Din, to give it to an Otzer Beis Din. And this is the fundamental use of an Otzer Beis Din, according to the Ravid. They will take responsibility of seeing to it that everyone has equal access, and that therefore the Aniyim will have plenty of food during Shviyas, because Beis Din will take care of it. But once it is gone from the whole Oretz, which we're going to be talking about in a moment, what defines the Oretz, at that point, he agrees that you have to burn it, you have to get rid of it. So that means that up until the time that you burn it, you have this whole period during which you could see to it that it's given to everyone. And if there's no Otzer Beis Din, so then you're mafkirid. So we have three different issues: Otzer Beis Din, hefker, and actual sreifa. Now I want to introduce the next perek, next Mishnah rather, or Mishnayas, I should say, with pointing out to you the extraordinary sophistication and responsibility that the Mishnah teaches, without which it will seem to you very arbitrary and not nogea. It is extraordinarily nogea, and it means a completely different way of looking at your relationship to agriculture and so on. And why do I say that? Because this unusual idea that the Torah gave of interrelating the access to the Chayes HaSada means that you need to be aware of a number of different issues when you are coming to determine what that means. Because after all, Chayot HaSadeh tend to get around, and they have territories. So this means that there's different things that you need to understand. First of all, you need to understand differences in climate. Secondly, you need to understand differences in topography. Thirdly, you need to understand the way that those differences affect the lives of organisms in those areas and restrain their territory, because they are part of an idea that nobody realized until very recently, which is called ecology. The Mishnah opens up your eyes to the fact that unless you understand the interrelationship between weather patterns, climate, topology, and the animal and what the animals feed on, you will not be able to be mekayim the mitzvahs of Shviyas. That is astonishing, the level of sensitivity And it's because of that. These are not arbitrary issues that the Mishnah is going to suggest that we're going to split the area into three different places. And then each one of those places, you have to be aware of the differences between the mountainous territories and the valleys and the areas next to the water. And that is unbelievable, truly unbelievable. And so because of that, when we're going to be talking about the Shalosh Aratzot, and each one of them have Shalosh, the person who reads this and doesn't understand what's going on is like, come off it, man. No, not come off it, man. This is symphonic, absolutely symphonic. Okay, so let us begin the Mishnah. And we have some very serious machlokas about this Mishnah that involve us in just knowing a little bit about the names of cities around Eretz Yisrael. It's very confusing. So the Mishnah says, listen, first of all, you have to know that the determination of what is considered to be kolo l'chaya, has to be kolo l'behemtecha, is defined by the actual ability of the chaya to survive in those kind of circumstances. So if you take a look at Eretz Yisrael, you could see that there are three very different climate areas that will affect the ecology, and each one of them has areas of different topography, which is a secondary impact on the ecology, and you have to understand them all in order to be able to figure out when the biur would affect your area. So therefore, we split it into three different lands. Now, the big machlokas is what these three lands are, but we'll be talking about them when we get towards the end of the Mishnah. So, Shalosh Aratzot Lebi'ur. We have the area of Yehuda, which is the southern part of Eretz Yisrael. We have the Eiver HaYarden, which is very confusing. Does Eiver HaYarden mean what it usually means? To the east of the Jordan River? Because over there, in fact, there are major differences in terms of rainfall and climate and the way that there's that additional height of the mountains to the east of the Jordan. And therefore, we include that as a separate area. The problem is, would there be a chiv of shvius and therefore biur in those areas? Or did the Rabbanan extend the dinim of biur to those areas? Or does Eiver HaYarden, strangely, as the Rambam insists, strangely means this side of the Yarden, such that Eiver HaYarden means the area along the Yarden? All right, so we'll be talking about that. And then the Galil, otherwise known as Gaviland, and those areas also are considered to be a completely separate area. And that's because if we take a look in Sefer Yehoshua, we will see that there's two major areas in Eretz Yisrael, and in Eretz Yisrael itself, because it says Yehuda Ya'amod al gvulo minegev, and Beit Yosef mitzafon. So that means that we see things basically split into these two areas. And you see along the Jordan River, we have what is basically a different country. Now that's the question, what are we talking about? Are we talking about the extension of that pasuk as a drabonah to refer to Eiver HaYarden Mizrocha? Or are we referring to an interesting thing which we're going to see later on when it talks about the issue of dates, that there's an interesting phenomena, which is that if you take a look at the country, the growing of dates is sort of contiguous all the way down the valley, which comes all the way down to the Yam HaMelech, and therefore you can look at that as one country when it comes to dates. So this is what we're going to be talking about later on. But meanwhile, let's talk about the fact that we have Shalosh Aratzot L'Kol Achat V'Achat. So again, there's going to be a big machlokas here. Are we defining all of the nine, 3 times 3? And we're talking about the Eiver HaYarden breakdown as well, or not? That's a machlokas. And the other machlokas is, when we say that there's three, and each of these three incorporates three, does that mean that the biur is basically split between nine areas? Or do we hold that the territories of animals that are living within one of these general climate areas will actually wander in the topography of the other, of the same area, but even if it's different topography? So is there essentially nine separate determinant areas of biur, or really only three, and we're just coming to define for you the area through taking into consideration its various topographies. Okay, that's a machlokas haposkim. But in any event, here's how it goes. The Galil is split into three. So we have the Galil ha'elyon, the Galil ha'tachton, and the Emek. How do we define those three areas? Well, from Kfar Hananya north, so Kol She'eno Megadel Shikmin is called the Galil ha'elyon. We have a very beautiful way of determining whether something is topographically defined as mountainous. This is another beautiful, beautiful insight into the relation of vegetation and trees to the particular topography within a particular climate area, a zone. And this is the most sensitive tree is the shikmin. So the sycamore, there's actually a number of different types of sycamore. So the common shikmin was something that grew dafka not in very high areas. But there are some, it's very interesting, the shikma is in some places an evergreen, and in other places it will drop its leaves. It depends on the climate. But if it gets too cold, and if it gets too cold, is apparently defined here by the botanists as anything lower than 8 degrees centigrade, they won't grow at all. So therefore, that area is considered to be the har of the Galil. There's no shikmin. And you remember we talked about the shikmin in Amos, and the, you know, the idea that he's got shikmin in the Shvela. So the shikmin is a sign that you're, if there are no shikmin and they won't grow there, even though this was the most, remember that we've seen, this was the most popular wood because it was a sustainable harvesting of wood. Really also a remarkable way of dealing with the environment and the ecology. People would plant shikmin, they would grow very rapidly, and you could continue to harvest them. So if you cut down the branches, you were careful to leave enough of the trunk of the shikmin, it would regrow very rapidly, and then you could reharvest the branches again for lumber. You could keep doing this, and it was an extremely valuable tree. Kept getting more and more productive. The base would get thicker and thicker, and it would produce more rapidly and bigger branches, which is great. So the idea of now the forestry of replanting trees actually began much earlier with having shikmin and harvesting parts of the tree, which is even better. You don't have to cut down the whole tree and start all over again. Okay, so that was the shikmin. Now, does Reb Barnea have any information about where Kfar Hananya is? Can you share it with us, Betuvcha? Is it somewhere in Barnea's neighborhood?
Yes, and in the old days before Corona, when we had trips all the time to Brazil, I drove by it constantly. Mitzvah Hashem, you know, it will be renewed. I just reshared.
You are not in favor of Corona. You're one of the anti-Corona people. Ah, you live off of tourism. Sorry. Okay, no, you can be excused. Yeah. So go ahead.
Right. So I just reshared an update that Shalosh Artsukh.
Oh, those wonderful, cool days without the sound of traffic and being able to actually cross a street. And oh, yeah. Sorry. What were you saying?
I just reshared a document called Shalosh Artsukh Lebiur, which is broken up a little bit clearer than it was before. And now, if you look at the first map, my finger is on Kfar Hananya. It's on page 9.
I think you overwhelmed us a bit, but okay. You're saying
no. It's the first picture after.
Is
the
it
text.
Here on the chat, or it's on the
on the WhatsApp? I shared.
Okay, fine. All right.
So I could share screen if Rebbe wants. If you let me share.
Or you
screen.
Could you just send the map? All right. Never mind.
Just that one. I'll send just that one in a moment. Fine.
Right, I'm opening it. Page 9.
Very accessible.
I don't want to drive you crazy. Okay. Page 9.
If you just scroll down, you can't miss it.
Okay. Yeah, it's just taking a bit of time to open on my...
It's the first picture after
old
text.
Computer. Okay.
And that, while Rebbe's scrolling, another two things which are here, which are relevant, in other Chazal is Bikat Ginosar, the Ginosar Valley by the Kinneret down to the right, and Har Meron, which is the a boundary for the Tamarim, if I recall, is above my finger. But you see exactly Kfar Hananya is in red. I think this is from Rabbi Yehuda Landi's map, from his Sefer Shelos Eretzot Levir.
Okay. All right. I'm just getting there now. Whoa. South of Be'er Sheva?
Be'er Sheva of the Galil.
Oh, you scared me. Okay. So it's near Beit Dagan. Fine.
This, it's Tzomet Hananya, by Tzomet right, Chalafta. Right, it's right, near Tzomet right. Chalafta.
Okay. So I see you.
And the Kalim of Kfar Hananya are mentioned, and our neighbor, David Adan Beowitz, did work on analyzing the Kalim of Kfar Hananya and how to find for it. That's Nagia Mishnah. It's very fascinating.
So it actually is near Gavi. I thought I was getting around.
It's the Mamish the demarcation. Professor Felix, I brought it in the text. Professor Felix said it's 500 meters. The distance of once you go above 500 meters, you don't have Shikma. It's below 500 meters in addition to the points Rebbe said. So that's another way of determining. So the Upper Galil's mountains are twice as high as the Lower Galil's. The Lower Galil's reach 600 meters. The Upper Galil reaches as much as 1,200 meters. You literally see the jump right there.
Wow. Beautiful. Beautiful. Just beautiful. It's just a wonderful thing, Mamish. Wonderful. Thank you so much. Okay, so that's why you gave us a topographical map. Right. Unbelievable. Okay. Mikfar Hananya Ulamatan, where you do have shikmin growing, that's called the Galil HaTachton. Then you get into the Emek, which is still part of the Galil, and that's the area around Tveria, which is, of course, Emek. Be'Yehuda, you also have Ahar, HaShvela, VeHa'emek. Now, the Shvelat Lud is Shvelat HaDoron, Ahar Shelak Ahar HaMelech, and Mibet Achron V'ad HaYam Medina Achat. What the heck is that referring to? So here is where we get into the big machlokas. So according to the Rambam and those who follow the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos, the idea in their Pirush HaMishnayos, the idea over here is that this is a reference to the third Medina, which is called the Eivor HaYarden, but it's referring to Eivor HaYarden Mizrocha. So that it too has three areas. Now, as the Gra points out, this is absolutely mind-bogglingly impossible.
Rebbe meant Eivor HaYarden Ma'arava.
What did I say?
Mizrocha.
Sorry. Eivor HaYarden Ma'arava, yes. So, the reason it's impossible is because how could Lud, unless there's another Lud that we don't know about it, how could Lud, which is west of Yerushalayim, be referring to a different country, which is along the Yarden? It just doesn't make any sense at all. And therefore, the way the Gra understands it, first of all, the way many of the Mefarshim understand it is that the Mishnah did not come to talk to us at all about this Eivor HaYarden. And the Eivor HaYarden is left for the definitions in the Tosefta, where it is defined, but over there it's talking about Mizracha and not Ma'arava. So nobody really quite knows how to understand the Rambam in this. And the same thing is true in the Yerushalmi. It's definitely talking about the Tzad Mizrach. So this explains the Gra. This is a reference to the one place that we didn't talk about. The one place that we didn't talk about was the area of Binyamin, which is basically not Galil and not literally Yehuda. And it also has three completely different areas. That's the point. Now, can you point us to Beit Horon on a map, Gavi? Barnea?
Page 13.
Page 13.
It's on the number of places, but if you look at page 13,
okay,
he has it color-coded of Galil El and Galil Tachton, then the Shomron, and then Har HaMelech of Yehuda. And on the left side, in the green, mm-hmm. you have Beit Haran, above the words Har HaMelech, below the words Beit Haran to Lod. So it says Beit Haran, Elyon, and Tachton, which is on Highway 443. And the Arab villages of Beit Ur, Tachta, and Beit Or, I forgot the other name, retain upper and lower. And Chaim Egeni, Alav Hashalom, took me into those Arab villages before the Intifada completely stopped them. And you could see the ancient Roman steps, the ancient road where that's where Yeshua's battle was. And that's where Yehuda Maccabee had battles, right? It's a very clear definition. And then Emos is right by Latrun, right by the tank base near Gezer in that area. That's ancient Emos. It's in the Canada National Park and a great place to visit. And then Lud is further west. And when you stand, I had this incredible experience for me. When you stand on the rooftop of the Latrun Tank Museum, you're looking up at Beit Horon and you're by Emos. You literally feel the Mishnah draped over the landscape. Right, you see the transition, you know, over there. And then you have Lod to the sea, and this map
this is very Nogea. Elroy is not here today, but Elroy is learning in that area, right?
Yeah, they should have marked Yavne on this map, even though it's in Yavne. Okay, so, right? But yes, you see it clearly, and there's a couple of the other maps as well.
Yeah, my son used to actually learn there, so that I used to drive by there all the time, and I dropped him off. So, okay, so then basically, according to the Gra, what we're talking about over here is the area of Binyamin. So therefore, we're talking about those three areas, Shiflas Lud, the Har, and then from Beit Horon all the way down to the Yam. And that would mean that what we're saying in the Mishnah is that those three areas are not understood as a separate country. Why? Because they're included in the equivalent topographical, exactly the same ideas as Yehuda, and since they are so close to Yehuda, the animal also territories cannot be differentiated between Yehuda and Binyamin, and they have the same din, therefore, that Ahar Shelah Kahar HaMelech, which is the Har of Yehuda, and therefore the Shvelah is the same, Shvelat Ludus Kishiflat Adarom, like Yehuda's Shvelah. And therefore, all of that we're calling Medina Achatz, which according to the Rambam means this is the different Medina. Again, we don't have a clue of how we could be calling this defined by Kfar Hananya or by Lud or any of those kind of places, because those are nowhere near where they're supposedly being Misamein. So this is a very interesting approach.
When we say Haramelech, are we talking about the whole range of mountains?
Haramelech is the Yehuda, right, the Yehuda mountains are called the Har HaMelech.
So it starts in Be'er Sheva and goes all the way up to Shechem. It ends, and where it ends is in Be'er Sheva, pretty much, where it goes down the mountain.
Well,
all the way up to Shechem.
No. No, because that's already through Binyamin. It doesn't go past Yehuda. So, I mean, yes, technically, tectonically, that's correct, but in terms of the other issues, the climate, weather patterns, and so on, it's not considered to be the same. That's considered to be already the Har of the Galil once it goes all the way up, right? Or of Binyamin.
Shomron.
That the Gra is explaining over here.
We're speaking about where Shomron, the Har of Shomron.
Yeah, so then that would be included in the last part of the Mishnah here, Aliba the Gra. That's good for what it's saying. It's the same as Har Yehuda, which is you're pointing out, yes, it's the same mountains. So even though it isn't called Yehuda, it's the same. That's how the Gra understands the Mishnah, which is very, very reasonable. And we're leaving out the third Medina, which is this Eber HaYarden. Okay, Rabosai, that is a beautiful introduction. We'll go over it Be'ezrat Hashem tomorrow and go through the other implications of the Mishnah. But I think the poetry and the beauty of the Mishnah, which can look so meaningless on the surface, is one of the most astounding, I think, of the Mishnayos.